Slade, yeah.
Slade.
Slade, thank you. Thank you, perfect.
Slade.
Slade all day.
Slade.
Yeah, welcome to Jumpcast. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, it's Christmas Eve. Exciting.
Oh, gosh. I'm hoping that Sam has, like, overlaid this with some, like, log fire crackling sound.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what my favourite thing...
It's for witches.
Yes. Yeah, welcome to Salem, Massachusetts on the 24th of December.
No, my favourite thing
Goody
was
Harrison.
When Disney released the Arendelle Yule log fire thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was so cute. I like that.
What, they burnt Elsa at the stake?
Well, she's
Let
a witch.
Go.
So,
freeze this.
I mean, a witch and a lesbian. I mean, it's just double donkins for her.
double donkin.
Double donkin donuts.
This is really bad. Anyway, well, here we are. It's Jumpcast Christmas. We're all a bit giddy for some reason. I hope you've written...
cracked open the Bucks Fizz.
I hope you've written your letter to your equivalent Santa Claus, whether it be Tim Allen or, you know.
Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough. James Cosmo, if you're so inclined.
How did you run out of ideas after Tim Allen?
No!
The definitive.
Yeah, Tim Allen is the definitive Santa Claus on screen. No, Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks? Oh, God, no. Don't talk about the Polar Express.
I don't understand your problem with the Polar Express. That
it's absolutely cursed.
It's really creepy.
Horrible.
Oh, you both are. I'm in... Wow, well... Polar Express team unite.
Polar opposites!
Hey!
Well, welcome to Jumpcast. Simon.
Yes, hello.
What have you been up to this week? Anything nice?
Well, no. We're not going to talk about that on Jumpcast. This is a place for happy things and merry making. But I'm down at the family home for Christmas.
Lovely.
Yeah, brought my cats in tow. They've met my sister and my mum and dad, and yeah, it's feeling like one big family Christmas.
Family Christmas, yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Have you been watching anything, or have you been too busy travelling from A to B?
Well, I watched Elf for the billionth time this weekend. Just gone. And speaking of Father Christmases or Santas, who are just deserving far more than Tim Allen, let's be honest. Ed Asner's performance is great. Mm. He's really good as Santa.
Mm-hmm. He's a very good Santa, I must admit. Yeah. It was on telly the other day, so I was half watching it, half not watching it.
Oh, I think that's how I saw it as well, in that case. Yeah.
Very good, though. Hello, Charlotte. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Are we changing it up a little bit because it's Christmas? Or are you just sticking with ahoy?
Well, I was trying to do like a ho, ho, ho last week, but I kind of... flopped it.
You could do
You could do three ahoys because you know you saw three ships come sailing in.
Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy,
ahoy, ahoy.
Yeah,
works. I mean, it's
completely
classic. Why change what works? Why? Yeah, it's not broken. Don't think. Yeah. Gave up on that sentiment as well.
The jump cast guarantee. If it ain't broke, it won't be changed.
Have you been up to anything nice this week? I imagine you've broken up from school.
Mm-hmm. We broke up from school at 12:30 last week, and I was at home by 1 p.m.
Nice.
And now I'm at my family home yet again, speaking to strange men on the internet from my childhood bedroom. That's you too.
I was thinking I resembled that remark.
Not just me using Bumble. I have been watching Emily in Paris season 2. I was given the press screener.
Oh, as so you are meant to call it. Emily in Paris.
Emily in Paris. Yeah.
Is that and, really like the advice that they give to
No,
Netflix really pushed it.
Oh, did they actually push that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Makes sense.
It is a TV show that exists that I have now watched. And I have also been watching Canada's Drag Race. They put all of season two up on BBC iPlayer. And I'm episodes in. The prom episode was phenomenal. It was so, so heartwarming. It was a makeover challenge we've not been able to do since COVID. And it warmed the cockles. So I fully recommend it.
Interesting, because I watched the first episode and just decided I couldn't be arsed. I think I've kind of gone into Drag Race fatigue mode. I think there's just been a bit much. Although,
are you prepared?
They did announce.
Go on. I think
they did announce today. What is it? Drag Race UK versus the world, which is basically just international all stars.
Yeah.
And I must say, I'm quite excited for that. But yeah, I'll get round to it.
I'd felt burnout from season three of the UK series. I found that really disappointing. Mm. But the Canada one, there's something about the series that I've really enjoyed.
And Jeffrey Boyer Chapman isn't involved, so it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, the new judging panel, they've got it sorted.
Yeah, it seems to have improved a lot.
Nice.
For sure. Very nice. Well, I have to say, 80% of the five films I've watched over the past week are Spider-Man films.
As in the same one five times, or...?
No. I've watched the same one twice, and I also watched Homecoming and Far From Home as well.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But you'll be glad to know that the other 20% is The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Oh, excellent.
Mm.
Just an absolute classic. And possibly the best adaptation of Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol ever committed to film. So
there goes Mr. Humble.
I will agree with that fully. I've used it with we teach it as one of the GCSE texts for kind of the lower groups in English, like the ones who find English a bit more difficult. And that film goes down so well because it has direct quotes, and then they love to go, "Oh, that's from the book."
Nice.
Like solitary as an oyster. And it's great for memorizing quotes. It's a very good revision technique.
Oh yeah, like that bit where he's like, "If I had a penny for what is it? If I had a chance to get any fool with Merry Christmas on his lips or whatever, like a wreath of holly on his grave and stuff." Like, yeah, that's great.
I must say, the only thing that hasn't aged well with that film is Miss Piggy and Kermit, because obviously they're not in a relationship anymore in real life.
Look, sometimes at Christmas you want to reminisce on the good times.
Yeah. No, definitely, definitely. But it's still strange. I'm getting mixed up in some fictional puppets relationship. Like, what? Anyway.
Don't forget Tiny Tim,
that was Teen America.
Did not die.
Well, there we are.
Yeah.
It's time to move on to the news. We've got some news to talk about today. I didn't think we would have any, with it being the back end of the year, but here we are. First of all, the new Jackass film is going to be coming out in the new year. Is it called Jackass Forever?
That's it.
But there is some controversy surrounding the new film. And that is including Bam Margera, who is a member of the original team. And he's put out a lawsuit against them, against the team. And I believe it's due to him being like thrown off the set. Is that correct?
So I think, as far as I understand it, he's been having some issues with a few different things in his life. And yeah, the guys from what I can only understand and glean from different testimonies, they were trying to get him help. He felt like he was not in need of any help. They essentially kicked him off the team, and here we are.
Well, there we are. I mean, I suppose we'll see how that works out. I'm not sure exactly when Jackass Forever is coming out, but I imagine that because I imagine he was in it for a time, and then kind of halfway through filming or something, it just kind of
So, yeah, I'm not sure what it is. I know that there have been some concerns for him prior to even this film being announced. So whether that's something that will come up in this, I doubt it, because the name itself and the trailers from so far seem to kind of focus on the love for for each other as a group and all that kind of thing. So
like the legacy kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Well, moving on to even more sad news, I suppose. Or is it potentially a sign of things to come once more? Deja vu, so to speak. Blumhouse's new film, The Black Phone, has been delayed until June.
So this is the Scott Derrickson film, right? With Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct, yeah.
Okay, so when I saw the trailer for this, I thought, oh, this looks great. And also a Scott Derrickson film that looks really creepy and cool. And that feels like it's been a while since that's been coming. And yeah, this is gutting. I know that Omicron is going to throw some spanners in the works. But yeah, it's sad to see this one pushed back. Because I'm really keen to see it.
Yeah, no, it does look quite good. So it's definitely sad that that's happening. Moving on, the Godfather trilogy is going to be heading back into UK cinemas next year for its 50th anniversary.
It's a bit alarming, isn't it? I know I'm not 50. I'm 30 next year, but 50 years.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
I was rewatching Zootopia the other week, and that that pastiche.
It's so good.
Brilliant.
That and the opening and closing scene of Rugrats in Paris are my only references to Godfather. Like, I've never seen any of them.
Look how they massacred my boy. Yeah, it's great. I've seen these films, well, the first two a few times. I'm not one of those people who puts it up on like the IMDb all-time list or whatever, that fandom inflected list. But it would be exciting to get the chance to see it on the big screen. Hopefully this is going to be like a new restoration or what have you. I'm not sure.
I mean, probably it'll be some kind of 4K thing. They usually do that when they re-release films in the cinemas, older films. It'll be interesting to see.
Hmm.
So they're releasing one a week, I think, for the 3 weeks. So I think it's a great chance to see them on the big screen. Because I don't even know if Prince Charles Cinema does it that often.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, that'd be a good way to spend two cinema outings.
Hmm?
Not three. Not three, Simon.
I said what I said.
Yeah. Well, moving on. Denis Villeneuve is a very busy, busy man. Because not only will he be working on the sequel to one of this year's biggest films, Dune, he's also going to be directing an adaptation of novel Rendezvous with Rama.
And this book's by Arthur C. Clarke, who also wrote 2001 Space Odyssey. So that's the kind of material, the quality we're looking at here.
Do you think he's going to go full Kubrick?
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. That's literally all we know though at the moment. We don't have any other information on that. But we will definitely talk about it when we know more. Moving on. This I was like so interested because Matthew Vaughn, who it is Matthew Vaughn, isn't it? Who was behind first two Kick-Ass movies. He was doing an interview the other day and I think he was asked about Kick-Ass 3 because there are actually three Kick-Ass comics, like three series of comics. And they obviously after the second one, it just kind of fell into the water. And when he was asked about it, he actually said that they're looking to kind of reboot the franchise rather than do a continuation of the story.
Yeah, he said, we've got a big reboot of Kick-Ass in 2 years. Big reboot. It's so fucking nuts. I can't talk about it, but we're ready to go.
Interesting.
This is such news to me. Partly because I didn't know if anyone actually cared about Kick-Ass anymore.
I think there are people out there that care about Kick-Ass, for sure.
Some, I guess.
Clearly not you.
Mark Miller. That's the one person.
I'm excited. I really do like the first Kick-Ass movie.
Yeah.
It's really great. And Nicolas Cage is wonderful.
I like the first one a lot. Yeah, that's really good.
I think they went a bit off kilter with the second one. I'm not really too sure what went wrong there. But I must say, I'm also intrigued to see what they might do with a reboot and see how they angle it and frame it, especially when the superhero movie is so dominant these days.
Mm.
And how a source material like Kick-Ass would compare to that. And like you said, Simon.
I was just wondering, because don't Netflix have rights to the quote unquote Millerverse?
I know he does a lot of work with them. Yeah.
So is this, are there big, crazy, wacky reboot plans? Second Coming of Christ, whatever it is, Matthew Vaughn said. Is that going to be a Netflix thing, do you think?
I mean, potentially.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, potentially. But I think it's a case of, like you were saying, Simon, if...
Kick-Ass film... Sorry.
Huh?
Do you want to start again, Alex?
I don't know what happened there. I was saying, like you said, Simon, it's a case of whether anyone actually cares about that story anymore and those characters.
Because the first film came out in 2010, and that was, 2 years into the Marvel Universe. Iron Man was, 2008?
Yeah. It's a
very different landscape.
I'm just feeling myself withering again.
And I'm not going to lie, nothing is going to beat the Big Daddy death scene. Nicolas Cage acted the shit out of that.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, everyone dies in Titanic. Sorry.
Hey, Bill Paxton doesn't die then.
Yeah, the ring goes into the volcano at Mordor. There you are.
And our spoiler special will be next week.
We'll ruin more films like that one next week.
That's all the spoiler special is going to be. It's just the one line spoiler.
Anyway, moving on. Final bit of news for today. There is a new film called Empire of Light, and we've got some casting news. And Colin Firth and Toby Jones are going to be joining Olivia Colman on that project.
Yeah, new Sam Mendes film. Going to be exciting. So, yeah.
Is it all going to be one shot?
Well, who knows, really, because he's got Deakins back. Deakins is on board.
Deakins is on board.
Mm. Yeah. It sounds more like, from the details coming through, a love story set around an old cinema in the 80s.
Oh, very so, nice. Sounds very interesting.
Pretty please.
Yeah. Well, I'll be definitely looking forward to that.
Cool.
Okay. Well, it is now time to move on to trailer talk.
Trailer talk.
There's your jingle bells. Yeah.
Yay.
There's your jingle bells. Right.
Well, first of all, a trailer that I think we are all very excited about. And that is the trailer for The Lost City, which is a new film. Starring Sandra Bullock. I feel like, even though that new film with Sandra Bullock came out the other day, I feel like I've not seen her in anything for ages.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, and Daniel Radcliffe as the villain in the main roles. Yeah, more Daniel Radcliffe villain, please. Loving that. What do we think about this trailer? Are we? I mean, I'm very excited for it. It looks very, very funny.
Charlotte, do you want
to get? Yeah, I'm massively excited for it. I'm excited for the kind of romancing with Stone, the fantasy adventure rom-com vibes, the fact she's a writer. Is he the model on the front of the books, remember rightly from the trailer?
Yeah, that is the correct. Fabio style, yeah.
Yeah, how am I going to admit it to the nation? I have a weird soft spot for Fabio that goes back like 10, 15 years. So I'm already here for this film. There's something about men with long blonde hair, like of a certain kind of Witcher, Legolas vibes. I never fancied Orlando Bloom, but I did fancy Legolas. Anyway, that's a side note. Also, I like the age gap between Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. I like the fact it's that way around for a change.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep, for sure.
And there are two things for which I'm a little bit gutted. First of all, that they seem to have changed the title just a little bit. But it was going to be called The Lost City of D, and that's just The Lost City. And also, there's an appearance in that trailer which I kind of felt was a bit unnecessary. If you know, in this world of surprises where people want to react to things on the big screen and you know, cheer it, I felt like, you know, why ruin that?
Yeah, he's already at it, guys, boys and girls. He's already started. We're not even at the bit yet, and he's here. He's had to just worm his way in with that conversation already. I'm exhausted. It's right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we were all talking about this on the group chat the other day about how it's very strange that they've decided to show him in the trailer when, it would have been more exciting to maybe see it as a surprise.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, very, very excited. And more Daniel Radcliffe in general, please. If only for my own selfish aims.
Yes, because... Oh my gosh, yes. This will give you a new film to talk about on your podcast as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Well, moving on to what I believe will be the top of 90% of people's most anticipated films of 2022. It's Robert Eggers' next project, The Northman.
Oh yeah.
It's all about revenge and killing and Vikings and and it's got Bjork in it.
It has Bjork in it.
Yeah. So it looks really interesting. And you know, leading man. We love a leading man in Alexander Skarsgård, I think.
Oh yeah.
Like Succession definitely proved that man should be a really big star, or at least a really big presence in cinema.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just definitely a shame he chose to do Tarzan, isn't it?
But I think it was your friend Sarah Charlotte who was very excited for Bjork on Twitter.
Yeah, I think she was, yeah.
Let's say I'm so excited for it. I think genuinely Robert Eggers can do no wrong so far. Like off the back of The Witch and The Lighthouse, this is just, yeah, very, very excited. And off of this film, I now have a new to-do list for 2022. You know, I will avenge you, Father. I will save you, Mother. I will kill you, Fjolnir. So Fjolnir's out there, you better watch out.
It's coming for you.
Simon is on the warpath.
It's nothing personal, you know, it's just goals.
Just goals. Well, moving on to Death on Departure. Sorry, Death on the Nile. It is the film that has been coming for longer than The King's Man. And it is the next film in Kenneth Branagh's Hercule Poirot cinematic universe. No, honestly, on a real, I just have to say, I feel so sorry for Kenneth Branagh, because, you know, he just wanted to put the cape on, have a bit of fun in his mustache, and just, you know, just make some Poirot stuff. But no, all that has followed him is controversy. Yeah, what do we think? I mean, I didn't watch the trailer. I didn't bother, to be honest. What? I've seen the David Suchet Death on the Nile. I know what happens.
Actually, yeah, no, I'm crazy about Suchet, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I quite like sushi myself.
Yeah. Dixon Suche. So this was meant to come out in October 2020. And yes, really quickly, correct, that was a very different landscape for many people in this film. And someone joked on Twitter, this trailer cut is like the West Side Story trying to ignore Ansel in it kind of cut.
Look, give me a Death on the Nile where it's just Kenneth Branagh as Hercule Poirot and French and Saunders, and that I'll be fine.
Muppets Death on the Nile or nothing.
Muppets Death on the Nile. Better than Career Death on the Nile.
Well, yeah, suppose. Or COVID Death on the Nile. Oh,
well, saying this though, Armie Hammer came out of rehab last week, so I would not be surprised with the February release date if we start the kind of the reconciliatory press tour soon.
That could be interesting. He could do like a Prince Andrew style interview where somebody asks the burning questions like, where did you
how did you feel Pizza that? Express, can you sweat?
Where did you first get the taste for human flesh, Army?
It'd be interesting to see, you know, because this would be set in like the 1920s, 1930s. I say quite a few vaccines you need to get into Egypt at that point.
And it's not far from Israel as well, is it, Egypt?
Okay, let's move swiftly on because that's a whole can of worms.
Yeah, sorry. No, apologies on that one.
I just don't want us to, you know, get in trouble. Start a geopolitical problem.
Well, moving on to something that's a bit more fluffy than Death on the Nile, certainly.
Just the one wrong in this one. I think I've broken Alex.
This is the straight to Prime Video comedy, romantic comedy film I Want You Back, which stars Charlie Day, Jenny Slate, the other one, Manny Jacinto from The Good Place. It looks quite funny, it looks interesting. I was saying to you guys though while I was watching the trailer, it's weird to see Charlie Day not as Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I have a soft spot for Charlie Day. He's just so... There's something about him which is so charming and so just lovely and sweet. And it's hard to kind of reconcile that with Charlie from It's Always Sunny. So I'm excited for him to be getting into like a rom-com of sorts kind of film.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting to see him do other things. But will not make it any less weird.
Yeah, oh certainly.
How do you feel about it, Charlotte?
Oh yeah, I'm here for it. We've spoken before about my love of the rom-com. We've talked about how the need for the resurgence of the rom-com. I really like Jenny Slate?
Jenny Slate is great, yeah. Mm.
I also like the fact she dated Chris Evans for a couple of years, right? And Scott Eastwood has a touch of the, like, BTEC Chris Evans.
Christopher Jamal Evans. you're right. Yeah, definitely.
So he's got a touch of the Evans about him.
Got a touch of the Evans.
More of a touch of good in a woolly jumper.
Debatable.
Oh, okay.
I don't think anybody can look as good in a sweater, a knitted jumper, than Chris Evans in Knives Out. To be fair. It is hard to beat. Anyway, that is trailer talk well and truly wrapped up into a nice little gifted gift. And it is now time.
The gifted kind.
The gifted kind, yeah. It's now time. Well, I don't want to hype this up too much, guys, but we have a special guest this week to talk us through our Patreon members and to talk us through that. So, without further ado, on Christmas Eve, I present to you Father Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho! Hello, everyone! Merry Christmas! It's the busiest time of year for me, but I still have time... Shut up! I still have time to... read through one last time my very, very good boys and girls list. What's this? It says jump cut online Patreon. Well, I suppose it's the same thing, really. This is going so well. The elves have told me that you can be part of the goodest list next year by going to patreon.com/jumpcut_online. I don't have the internet at home. Mrs. Claus won't let me after she saw me browsing those websites. Anyway, let's have a look at here. Oh, it's not that big. Well, it's a very big list. It's not about the size anyway, boys and girls. It's all about the money they give us. And they give £8 a month, it turns out. Oh, Christmas is a time for giving. And these people have given very generously all year to Jump Cut to help new writers. So, without further ado, let me get my spectacles on. And it is Chris Wilson, Enon Films, Robert Denny, Daryl Griffiths, Sam Luck, Orla Smith, Peter Hodgkins, Andy Meakin, Fabiana Rosas, Hamish Calvert, Manuel Bento, and Joe Craig. Oh, what lovely boys and girls there. And even if you don't believe in me, I know where you live. So get giving generously. And until next year, Merry Christmas.
Wow.
Goodbye.
Bye, Santa.
So I mean, I don't know about you. Santa Claus, I know him.
Yeah, we...
Lads,
we...
I'm really sorry. My signal came out for a second. What'd I miss?
I hate to break to you, Simon. You just missed Santa Claus.
What?
Yeah.
The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus.
Oh, Kris Kringle.
Yeah, that is the one.
I guess we've got to talk about the other guy in red, though, haven't we?
Yeah, I suppose we must. There we are. I hope Simon isn't going to be too sad for the rest of the episode now. But
I have to listen back. I have to listen back.
You will. You will. I'm sure you'll cringe out of your face. So it's time to talk about the new releases of the week. And it was only one this week. Well, I think The Lost Daughter is doing some rounds in UK cinemas at the moment, but that isn't the film that anybody is talking about, because...
Oh, The Lost Daughter, poor thing.
The big release was, of course, Spider-Man No Way Home. Probably one of the most anticipated movies of the year from a lot of people's perspectives. The hype has been building up for over a year. And we now live in a world where we have seen Spider-Man No Way Home. So, very quickly, just a quick kind of synopsis. It picks up right after Spider-Man Far From Home, or right after the after credits of Spider-Man No Way Home. I still get confused between the both of them. I always say the wrong one. Anyway. And sorry if you haven't seen Far From Home, but this is a spoiler. where it is revealed to the world that Peter Parker is Spider-Man through the DailyBugle.net, hosted by J.K. Simmons' J. Jonah Jameson.
I can't believe you said that.
Sorry, should have saved it for the spoiler special. no. And yeah, so the world knows that Spider-Man is Peter Parker. And to try and fix this, Peter Parker finds himself in the Sanctum Sanctorum to ask Doctor Strange if he can sort it out. And while Doctor Strange is doing the spell, it goes a bit wrong, and villains from other universes start pouring through. And Peter Parker, Spider-Man, has to deal with those threats. And I feel like that's as far as we should go. Just in case there are people who are listening who haven't seen it. This review from all of us is going to be very well. It's going to be spoiler free, completely spoiler free. And we will go into more detail on next week's edition of Jumpcast in a bit more of a spoilery way. So who wants to go first?
Charlotte, by all means.
Take it away, Charlotte.
Okay. I will take it away. So I saw this at the Sky Superscreen at the O2, which I think is something like 4 inches too small to be called an IMAX screen, so it's the superscreen instead, the big screen. And the audience was rammed. In a way, I can't really think of even like the Eternals or Shang-Chi didn't have the same sort of audience size. And they were all people in my age bracket for the most part. So I'd say like 25 to 40 predominantly in the audience. A couple of kids, but not that many. And this film was made for that audience. It was made for me. That's how I felt watching it. I had the best time with it. I was grinning under my mask. Obviously, like a Cheshire Cat for most of the film. I did gasp at times. I don't know if I applauded or like loud nonsense, which I say nonsense because someone's going to build on that in a second. I really, really enjoyed this film. It's not perfect. I will argue that tonally it drags a little bit at certain places, but I don't know what I would have cropped. I've really thought about it, and it's not lean. There is some fat on it, but oh my goodness, some of the stuff here is tasty.
Tasty, tasty. Simon.
Okay, so I think to get into this, I think, like Charlotte very, very, very rightly put that, I think it is important to kind of explain where you were and with whom you were when watching this, because from, like, there are some people on the internet who are decrying the reactions to Spider-Man No Way Home as the death of cinema. And I think I want to nip that in the bud before anyone suggests that I'm being a blowhard or a misery guts or whatever. I do not agree with that sentiment. I do think that there is maybe a very unpleasant performative element to it, which ruins the fun for people who just want to watch a film, but that's another conversation, I think. So I saw this on opening day in my local multiplex. It was like mid-afternoon, so just after the school rush, so plenty of teenagers in there, and you know, it was a fairly good representation otherwise. So when I was watching the film, I really got into it. I really enjoyed myself. I, like Charlotte, was grinning a lot. And I think there is a lot to enjoy. I think it is, for the first time in this iteration of Spider-Man, a proper Spider-Man story.
Mm.
I think it takes great strides to say, this is not someone who wants to be the next Tony Stark. This is not someone who is looking up to Mysterio, for instance. This is someone who wants to be Spider-Man, is Spider-Man, and can be, but has to make the choices to become that. And I think when the film is really at its best, it deals with the gravity and the consequences of those decisions, whether they're made selfishly or nobly. And I think that in that, I think Spider-Man No Way Home is a really great Spider-Man film. I think Tom Holland, it's his best performance in this role. I think by a country mile. I don't think he's really been given a chance to properly explore what it means to be that young and have that power and that responsibility. And I think that he handles that really well. Where things fall apart for me are when the ensemble get involved. When the Rogues Gallery turn up, I think that's where the film starts to lose it a little bit. With the exception of one person, who I will say is arguably the MVP of the film, and that is Willem Dafoe as Norman Osborn. I think he is exceptional in this. I think it's a testament to his commitment to a role, which could have easily been a cameo, which could have easily been a phoned-in thing, that he went, I don't want to do that. I want to do everything. I want to do the stunts. I want to do all the second unit stuff. I want to do the lot. And yeah, he gives everything in this, and it really shows.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, I echo a lot of what both of you have said, probably leaning more into Charlotte's. Like, it feels like I'm not going to be critical of it just because I don't know why. Anyway, so I've seen it twice now, actually, as of yesterday, as of the day of recording. The first time I watched it, it was on opening night, about 7 o'clock, and it was a near as heck full screen of people, about 350 people. And the cheering and things did happen. And it was, I don't know, it was it's straight. I mean, we could have a whole conversation on how we all personally feel about it. And again, I feel like however you personally feel about what's happening in that sense of things, it's completely valid. If you are all for it, fair enough. If you think that it's the worst thing ever and it's ruining your cinema experience, again, like you're completely entitled to that opinion. And it kind of opens up to a wider conversation. Anyway, I thought that this is near as heck to a perfect Spider-Man movie as you can get. I think the most perfect Spider-Man movie is Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got Spider-Man 2, which is kind of up there. And then The Amazing Spider-Man is kind of all right too. But yeah, I think it's definitely up there. And for the reasons that you stated, Simon, in the fact that it really feels now like Tom Holland is Spider-Man rather than, and it's funny because they make a passing a joke towards him being quote unquote Iron Man Jr. in the film.
Yeah,
And yeah, I just feel like Tom Holland is, because he's been in this role now for 6 years or whatever it's been, and in so many different things, and especially in the first two of his Spider-Man films, has been very reliant on other characters in the universe. And I think that's a product of being part of a universe that's got so many characters in it. But obviously, without spoiling anything, where the character ends up at the end of the movie seems like the perfect place to be going forward. And I think that feeds into my love of the movie, in that it really feels like he is Spider-Man. And that's great. I loved all of the returning villains. I thought, like you said, Simon, Willem Dafoe was just absolutely amazing. But also Alfred Molina looked like he was having a brilliant time, and he was also really, really good.
One of my favourite things in the run-up to this film coming out was when they had that panel discussion with Alfred Molina, with Jamie Foxx, and with Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
And everyone was kind of doing the rounds of, so what brought you, what intrigued you to do this? And like Willem Dafoe gave this really like beautiful, erudite, well-argued point about what it means and, you know, where it put him in terms of like mainstream cinema and everything else.
Yeah.
And then Alfred Molina goes, to be honest, I did it for the money. Like, okay, yeah.
And you know what? All power to him. Fair enough. Get that Disney dollar, Alfred Molina. You deserve it. So yeah. And again, I feel like there's not really much more I can say without going into massive spoiler territory. So we'll talk about it next week properly. But yeah, really, really happy with this film. Up there with Shang-Chi as the best Marvel film of the year. And honestly, I think it could be in my top five MCU films of all time, to be honest with you. I think it is. It's really up there.
Without...
And the second viewing also reinforced that for me. Because I would actually tell you, I think that the emotions I felt on the second time were even stronger, weirdly.
Okay.
Because even going into it, I said to my friends, I was like, it feels like I'm watching this for the first time again.
Oh.
And there's it was nice.
There's something about the film that I said to my friend I saw it with, I can imagine myself watching it on a Sunday afternoon. And it sounded like kind of an insult, but there's something really wonderful about it. It's a message about kindness and feeling things is a real strength and a feat of bravery almost.
Yeah.
To allow yourself to feel things. And I think it's so incredible to have a blockbuster have that sentiment.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Holland really gets to show feels in this film.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's so good.
I think maybe because obviously you have these villains coming back from different versions of the Spider-Man mythos and the film and on screen. And I wonder if when they were looking back at those characters, there was an element of looking back at the way those films were written and considered, because there is a tangible lack of snark and like quippy. Well, you know, obviously there's Spider-Man quipping, but like very little like, well, that just happened kind of humor going on here.
Yeah.
And, like, it's very noticeable.
It's weird because it is. It seems like the most serious MCU movie, like,
well, with
ever,
the exception
really
of Eternals.
Well, yeah, okay, but that's serious in its own way, I think.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, it's kind of from what you expect it to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's strong. All the stronger for it, actually.
Definitely, I think there are moments, again, without giving too much away, there are moments where I found myself reacting emotionally to a film in this canon,
mm-hmm.
where I kind of felt like, I don't think I've had that kind of a reaction in a cinema to this, like when watching this kind of film before. Like, not necessarily a superhero film, but certainly a Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel Studios movie.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily because of whatever may happen or may not happen in the film, but more because of smaller character moments.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Because, I mean, there's one I cried through probably most of the last half of the film. There is one scene that set, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
There's one scene that set me off both times. Like, even the second time where I had my emotions a bit more in check, it's still just like, I couldn't even control myself. And it is one of those really small character moments that is really just a small amount of time, but just the weight that it holds.
Yeah.
When it looks at the bigger picture and all of that kind of stuff, it's just like really, really, really strong.
I was thinking about this earlier and thinking about how with Spider-Man No Way Home, it seems to be, like we said, kind of taking him away from that dependency on other names or bigger superheroes or what have you, and kind of telling him, like, you have to stand on your own 2 feet, or 8 if you're going to make the spider joke. but it just seems like that phase 4, if you want to call it that, of the Marvel plan seems to be generally going away from the big team up moments, despite what the marketing and everything else will tell you. Like, obviously a lot of this was, it's Spider-Man and Doctor Strange doing wacky multiverse things. And instead it was, okay, yeah, you're on your own, except for your friends. Or, like, with Eternals, it's a big team-up of celestial robot things. And, oh, wait, no, it's, they're all being whittled off, like, one by one. Or, like, Shang-Chi, it's not, like, a big team-up stuff, it's, oh, you got to find your own way in this world. It just feels like that's the prevailing theme of like where the Marvel series is going, is
it,
not big universe shattering stuff, but just stand on your own 2 feet.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because when it came out that Doctor Strange was going to be in No Way Home, a lot of people were like, oh, well, here, you know, Doctor Strange is the Tony Stark or the Jake Gyllenhaal of this Spider-Man film. And that, I mean, after watching it, it really isn't that at all, which is really great.
In many ways, he is the antagonist. But again, without spoiling too much.
Yeah.
Building on your point, Simon, this has come really, the timing of this with Hawkeye as well, the emphasis is on these smaller stakes. Like, it isn't the universe, it's personal crisis that is driving this wave of Marvel films.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying that side of things. Like, where do you go after the entire universe is at peril? Will you go smaller and almost harder hitting in some ways?
I think so.
Both here and Warp, I'm thinking.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because we're getting all of these smaller moments now, and then when it eventually builds back up to that universe-shattering event, it'll feel all the better for it.
I think that's going to hurt. Like, it is going to hurt.
It's going to hurt a lot.
I think that's it now, because it's like the old thing of, you know, if you get hit once, you feel it, and then the second time, it's not going to be as painful. So they have to really, really, like, twist the knife. So
yeah, completely.
It's, I think it might be quite emotionally traumatizing when it happens.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, without giving too much away, No Way Home is quite an emotionally traumatizing movie. And as well, in interviews, the showrunners of Hawkeye have said that apparently the finale of Hawkeye is more emotional than the end of Endgame, which I'm like, how is that going to work? But also,
is that
like,
just marketing plan, although?
I mean, maybe, it could be. But you know what I mean? It's still in that same sentiment.
Be fair, Hawkeye has handled Black Widow's death more than the MCU films have.
Oh yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, Hawkeye has dealt with Hawkeye better than most of the MCU films have. Come on, he was barely a character in the MCU films, but we finally got to see the proper him, and it's been absolutely perfect. But we could talk about that for ages. Yeah.
I'd rather read about it on the Jeremy Renner app.
What?
Have you not seen about this?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god. Yeah, he has a dedicated app for Jeremy Renner updates.
Oh! I'm going to download that right now.
Please do.
I'm not.
The first thing that comes up, you type in Jeremy Renner. 2017 it launched.
Oh, wow.
Nearly 5 years going strong.
Wow. Well, there we are. That's as much as we're going to get into with that. I feel like... We've actually managed to get more out of it without spoiling anything than I expected, which is great. So there we are. But if you want to find out our spoiler thoughts on it, then make sure you come back next week.
Yeah.
And give the spoiler special a listen. Right. Finally.
Is it that time?
I am the champion. It feels good to be a two-time winner, Simon. I know how you feel now.
There'll be no living with him after this, Charlotte.
Well, last week we put up the poll for the Christmas Film Club, and it was between... I can't remember what the other two are.
What disrespect.
Sorry,
that you can't remember the other two.
I actually can't remember.
Shop around the corner, Black Christmas.
Shop around the corner, Black Christmas. Got you, and Home Alone 2. And it came as no surprise to anybody that Home Alone 2 Lost in New York won. Yeah. I'm now ready for you to both begrudgingly tell me your thoughts on this. So Home Alone 2 Lost in New York, of course, is the sequel to the very popular Home Alone film. I think from a personal standpoint, it's better. I feel like it's one of those cases of the sequel is actually better than the original. I absolutely love it. It holds a dear place in my Christmas film catalogue heart. So instead of Kevin being home alone, he ends up going to New York alone. And that's all you really need to know. So, Simon, thoughts?
I feel like the writers stopped at and he ends up in home in New York alone. I don't want to be too nasty on this film because...
Wow, okay.
This is the thing, because it holds a very special place for a lot of people, including yourself, Alex, and I don't want to begrudge anybody that. But I did not have a good time with it, I'm really sorry to say. I was never the biggest fan of Home Alone 1, to be completely honest.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine, and I liked that Joe Pesci had to, like, overdub gibberish to cover up all the swearing on set. I think that's great. My issues with it are... I think when making a sequel, there is a very conscious choice to be made between either doing something very different, but within either the same universe or narrative or what have you, or with the same characters, or just doing the same thing again and bigger. And watching this, it feels very much like the same thing again and bigger. Like, with the same beats, almost word for word. And I think when watching this, like, with the first one, I mean, the setup to get him home alone is contrived enough as it is. And then it's a whole other level, a whole other layer of, okay, yeah, we know this happened last year, but we're just going to do it anyway. And that, I felt like, was just, it was, the suspension of disbelief was buckling in the first, like, 10 minutes. And then it just, and then it just crumbled even further as more stuff just came back and more references popped up. It just felt like, really, like, no one has stopped to question this. I know that it shouldn't be, like, the Cinema Sins thing of, like, well, that shouldn't happen. Oh, well, maybe he just called the police and, you know, used the voice recorder to say this is what the bandit said or whatever. But there are so many points in it where I just thought, oh, for the love of God, Kevin, just stop. Tell the police what's happened. Please, just stop. And not even the great Tim Curry could salvage it for me.
I was just about to say, you dishonor Tim Curry. It's very, very, very sad.
He is brilliant, and you know what? His talent lives on despite his horrible, unfortunate incident in the last few years. And I just watched this, and I keep thinking, oh God, I wish I were watching something like Rocky Horror again, or like Muppet Treasure Island, or something like that, where he was able to ham it up and then some.
And let me ask a question, Simon.
Okay.
You didn't even respond emotionally at the end when Kevin gives one of the doves to Pigeon Lady.
So Pigeon Lady is probably the only bit of the film where I thought, okay, this is going somewhere. And then it goes back to the Home Alone stuff. I just thought, oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I just, there was nothing. And by the time that happened, I just thought, you have not earned that lovely little symbolic friendship moment. I was not taken in by it at all.
Fair enough. Well, I will respectfully disagree, and we will move on to Shala.
Yeah, it's been more of the same from me, if I'm honest.
Oh,
I'm in
shit.
Simon's camp for this one. I read this really good article Collider, Adam Chitwood wrote for Collider a couple of years ago, and he used Hook as an example of a film he loved as a kid. He adored it. He went back to watch it, and he got his friends who had never seen it before to watch it, and it was a different experience. They just didn't connect with the film. And I feel like that might be this film for me. And Home Alone 1, if I'm honest. I find Kevin really annoying. I'm normally able to take my teacher hat off, but I was getting stressed watching essentially what is a school trip through an airport and then forgetting him. I was very anxious. I was like, where's the roll count? Why has he not got the ticket? Even the waking up late, I blamed them for the waking up late.
No. It has to be said from the offset, and this is even from the offset of Home Alone 1, they're terrible parents.
Yeah.
And it just, it stressed me out. I didn't find that, like, entertaining. I was like, where are child services?
Look, Pigeon can't maybe just be a homicidal maniac for one night and you can be happy. No.
He's just really aggravating. All of his dialogue, it feels like it's written by someone who's never met a child. And I don't say that because I don't think children are clever, capable of being funny, because I have some very funny students, but this dialogue is just... ugh. And then Pigeon Lady, I agree, is the most emotional episode section of the film, but arguably she's a spinster, so she became a pigeon lady.
And, it's up there with I Live Alone, So I'm a Librarian, and It's a Wonderful Life.
Although I've read a really good case for that with It's a Wonderful Life, that George would always go to the library, so it's the closest you possibly could get to George with that job. I know, right? But yeah, I'm really sorry, Alex. This film was not for me.
That's fine.
One thing I will say in Alex's defense of this choice and love is that I can imagine if I did watch this as a kid, that I would think, oh, that is so cool to everything he gets to do. Like, I think, yeah, there is a level of that, but I think maybe just that.
Yep. It's fine, Alex. Guys. It's fine.
Alex,
it's
fine. The last ever jump cast was recorded.
You're going to have to find a replacement. I am going to go and have a great time with Macaulay Culkin and tell him all the bad things you've been saying about his films as a child.
Meanwhile, on Neverland Ranch.
Okay, well, thank you very much for listening today, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you're listening to this before Christmas, have a great Christmas. If not, if you're listening to this between Christmas and New Year, have a great New Year. If you're listening to this at a time undisclosed, have a great day.
Are we really just stopping it abruptly because I made a that kind of joke?
I'm trying to get sick.
Yes! Goodbye, Simon! Goodbye! Good day, sir!
Oh, okay. Can I just say, before we do go, that I do agree with Alex's taste in films for the most part. Yeah. I just didn't like Home Alone 2. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that I don't like you any less. I just...
That you don't like
oh,
me?
It doesn't mean that I like you any less. Oh, God. Okay,
there,
here we go.
There we are. There, anyway, no.
Classic Christmas descent into arguing.
Well, it's goodbye from me, and have a good Christmas. It's goodbye from Charlotte.
Have a good Christmas.
And it's goodbye from Simon.
Shall we end on a sing song?
I think somebody more responsible than you deleted that from
No,
the
it was
plan.
Me. I chickened out.
Oh, you chickened out.
But no, genuinely, I think
you scumbag, you maggot, you chicken.
You know, really is time, isn't it?
Yeah. what would you like to sing, Simon?
I just want to sing. I'm not gonna sing.
What? But you've mentioned it now. Give the listeners what they want.
Have a round of, you know, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Okay, then. Let's do it.
And a one. And a two.
We wish
Yes, Simon didn't come in. And he didn't come in at the right time. Me and Charlotte did.
Okay.
Let's go again. And a one. And a two. And a...
We wish you a Merry
Christmas. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Stop it. Stop the count.
Well, we tried. That's about as harmonious as I think any jump cast Christmas is going to get, isn't it?
Just as any jump cast is going
to
get.
Yeah, that's true. Start as we mean to go on. Well, carry on as we mean to have gone on.
Thank you for sticking with us for 21 weeks so far.
Here's
to the next. Yay! And here's to the next 21. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Next year we should do like presents or something.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. If we make it to next year, in terms of being hosts, not like.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Just next week.
Existential crisis. Yes.
Next week you can hear us talking about the big spoilers from all the big films of the year, like James Bond and Shang-Chi. Spider-Man and Eternals and
Last Night in Soho
and all of them.
Ghostbusters Afterthought.
And yeah. And also, if you ever wondered what happened in Thelma and Louise, we'll also be spoiling that. Spoiler alert.
Pick a film at random and spoil it.
We'll also be counting down our top 10 films of the year. That's not a collective one because we never decide.
Oh my God.
You're into the 24th hour of...
And the negotiations for the Jumpcast top 10 films of the year has gone into its third week now.
Just no one talking to each other, just passing notes somehow.
Oh God.
Well, if you take that off, I'll take Clifford off. What do you think?
You said that before, haven't you? And not in that kind of conversation.
Well, on that note. goodbye. I wish you adieu and a very, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Bye.